House will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Blickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Sebson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace. Wallace. Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Wallace excused. 58 present, 2 excused.
The prayer of the day will be offered by Father Jason Dickey, representing the Greek Orthodox Church, Saints of Constantine and Helen.
Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Grant unto me, O Lord, that with peace of mind I may face all that this new day is to bring. Grant unto me to dedicate myself completely to your holy will. For every hour of this day, instruct and support me in all things. Whatsoever tidings I may receive during the day, do thou teach me to accept tranquility and the firm conviction that all eventualities fulfill your holy will. Govern thou my thoughts and feelings in all I do and say. When things unforeseen occur, let me not forget all that cometh down from thee. Teach me to behave sincerely and rationally toward every member of my family, that I may bring confusion and sorrow to none. Bestow unto me, my Lord, strength and endurance, that the fatigue of the day and to bear my path in all its passing events. Guide my will and teach me to pray, to believe, to hope, to suffer, to forgive, and to love. Amen. Again in peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, our God, there is a time to render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But we are not Caesar. These are my brothers and sisters. Bless them. Let your face shine upon them. Have mercy on us all. May my brothers and sisters pray for me, your unworthy priest. Amen. And there are no jokes today because I can't find my hat. God bless you all.
Or at that order of business, adjourn a committee report.
Your general committee reports that the Journal of February 12, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representatives Winters and Filer.
Chairman Gingery, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a wonderful introduction to give today. In my community is Grand Teton National Park, one of the jewels of this state, and the woman that runs that park for many years and an integral part of our community is Superintendent Mary Scott, who's here today, and also Gary Pollack, Management Assistant for the park.
Welcome to the House. The doctor of the day is G.L. Smith, M.D. from Cheyenne. The nurse of the day is Ann Harris from Platte County Memorial Hospital. Welcome to the House. Representative Green.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please.
Thank you. Brothers and sisters of the 62nd, to our gallery to our right and the speaker's left, we have students from all over the state participating in Wyoming Teen Pack this week with the leadership of Mr. Maury Goode, Nate Kirby, and all the Wyoming staff. Please welcome them.
Welcome to the House. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have the privilege of introducing to you one of my favorite county commissioners, Bob Ralston, chairman of the County Commissioners Association in Wyoming. Bob.
Anyone else? We're at that order of business of reading and signing enrolled acts. First enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 32, being original House Bill 13. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 32 from original House Bill Number 13. An act relating to livestock and other animals.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 32, being original House Bill 13. I have so signed. We're now at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 80, State Auditor Employee Payment Method Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Laux, Madden, Northrop, Petroff, and Simlick, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 16, Engrossed, Aeronautics Programs, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Yeagy, McKim, Reeder, Dave Swanser, those who voted no, Representatives Hutchings and Laux, signed by Representative David Swanser, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 29, Hitchhiking, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Laux, McKim, Dave Swanser, those who voted no, Representative Hutchings, Yeagy, and Reeder, signed by Representative Dave Swanser, Chairman.
We are at that order of business of re-referral of bills. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer Senate File 16 Engrossed to Committee Number 2 because it has an appropriation.
Without objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 28.
Senate File 28 is introduced from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to the administration of government.
There's a short minor amendment. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment to Senate File 28. And it is relatively minor. It just takes a lot of pages to do it. In coming back and looking at this bill and reviewing my notes after our great discussion yesterday on this file, I realized that we had a couple of cleanup items. And one of the things that we went through during the interim was to go to a common set of terms or conditions for this preference. And what we wanted to have the preference apply to across the board was construction, major maintenance, or renovation, getting away from the repair component. We realized that we did not have a definition in this part of the statute for major maintenance, and you'll see that on page one. This is a definition of major maintenance used by the agency that oversees most of our construction. So we've inserted that, and then also went through as a cleanup item that I'll be the first to admit a little embarrassed we didn't catch this earlier, throughout the rest of the sections dealing with that. So we had construction, major maintenance, or renovation throughout. Then on page two, there's another correction, and I think we'll enjoy this as being the more exuberant body of the legislature. In terms of when the elder gentleman did their amendments, they had a grammatical error that I think had an unintended consequence, and you'll find that that's the corrections there on line 20 through 28 on page two. For materials, what we want are just Wyoming residents to be able to qualify for the preference for material. The way this was worded is it said contractors' material, meaning that you would have to go through workforce services and get certified as a resident contractor to be able to supply material. We wanted to leave that open to all material suppliers, so that's a real nice correction that they, I think, made a mistake on, and we'll find out a little bit later on. So the rest of the bill goes through, or the rest of the amendment it makes, as you'll just see that throughout, those changes to where we say construction, major maintenance, renovation. Just consistency throughout. And that was our testimony of what we wanted through the interim, and I will again fall on my sword a little bit for not having that cleaned up prior to getting down here to the capital city. And ask for your favorable consideration.
Chairman Gingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question about the definition on major maintenance on page 1, line 17 through 27 on the amendment. I understand the first part, and that makes sense. It's good, I think, that you're defining major maintenance. So the first part makes sense, means the repair or replacement of a complete or major portions of a building and facility systems at irregular intervals. Where I start getting confused is, so you throw in, you made it clear that the ADA, so if you're trying to get into compliance with the ADA, that's going to come under this act. And then you put in fire suppression systems, but only in residential facilities. I take that to mean, like, state facilities that we're running, like the veterans or the state hospital, something like that. But the part I got confused about was on line 24, and is typically accomplished by contractors due to the personnel demand to accomplish the work in a timely manner, the level of sophistication of the work, or the need of the warranted work. I don't understand that clause and how that ties into the rest of the definition.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Mr. Majority Floor, you're just walking around. Anybody for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good questions by the Chair of Judiciary. And my response to that is simply this was the definition that was used by ANI that was pulled directly over from what they use for that term for major maintenance. And, you know, if we want to look at that a little bit more, I've tinkered with this bill and tried to clean it up on the last two readings, is we can look at that definition and get a little better explanation on it. If we need to clean it up, we can do so. And I understand your question. I was just trying to use a consistent language that was used by ANI and their rules and regulations is where we pulled that from.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate file 28. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to Senate file 28 passes the House. Senate file 28, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 43.
Senate file 43 from the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources.
Senate file 43, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 45.
Senate file 45 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles.
There is an amendment. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to Senate file 45. I was compelled yesterday by the argument that maybe we went too far with the Senate amendment that extended it to three passengers, and so I began the process of looking at taking the bill back to its original form as it left the interim committee, and that's essentially what this amendment does. Upon further review of the law, I found an even larger issue that I believe creates an inconsistency with our graduated driver's license. Our graduated driver's license law says that a 16-year-old may not transport more than one passenger under the age of 18 who is not a member of the permittee's immediate family. So essentially what we're doing with the Senate amendment in Senate File 45 is creating a scenario where we extend the rights of the person holding this hardship permit, and the moment that they turn 17, the hardship permit goes away, and then the restriction comes on in such a way that you actually lose the ability to carry people that you could carry at a younger age. I think that's an inconsistency in our law, and I would urge you to adopt the amendment.
Any other discussion on second reading amendment number one to Senate file 45? First time, second time prior to the sponsor, Chairman Teeters. Seeing no discussion and sensing you're ready to vote, all in favor of second reading amendment number one to Senate file 45, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to Senate file 41 has passed the House. Senate file 45 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 51.
Senate file 51 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to commercial driver's licenses.
Senate file 51 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 85.
Senate file 85, originating from Senator Hicks, an act relating to game and fish.
There is an amendment. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, or Mr. Speaker. One of the questions that was brought up yesterday was the not less than. Talking to the sponsor, talking to the agency, the intent is 50-50, and by taking this out, that's exactly what it says, so I would urge your adoption of this amendment. Oh, let me move the amendment. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 85. And I would urge your adoption of this amendment for that reason. Thank you.
Any further discussion on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 85? Question having been called, we're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 85. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 85 has passed the House. Senate File 85 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 94.
Senate File 94 is introduced by Senator Schiffer.
Hello.
He has a new name today, folks. Let's see, an act relating to the Wyoming Public Library Endowment Challenge Program.
Senate File 94 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate Files 6, 37, and 91.
Reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File number 6, from Corporations, an act relating to public utilities.
Get enacted.
Be enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File number 37, from Senator Case, an act relating to public utilities. Be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File number 91, from Senator Hines, an act relating to county commission composition. Be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay, excused. Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz, Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Cheaters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace, excused, Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller? Aye to no, no to aye? Are there any other changes? Vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 6, are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Coleman, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 37, are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Coleman, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 7 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 91, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 6, 37, and 91 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 19. There are two amendments. After this first amendment, we need to read the bill. But after this first amendment, Madam Speaker Pro Tem, if you would come up here, that would be great.
Senate File Number 19 from Senator Geis, an act relating to special hospital districts, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Let's do the second amendment first. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You will recognize this amendment. It's about identical to the one that was brought on second reading, or I believe it might have been first reading. But what this does, it changes the percentages. If you recall, this is the signatures that you have to get from folks within the district, both landowners and population base. And instead of going from the we took the current statute, which has 25% and 25%, and reduced it down so that it's only now 25% of the landowners owning at least 10% of the assessed evaluation of the property within the area proposed. And so the purpose of this, as you may recall, is to make it easier to obtain the appropriate number of signatures in order to then bring this to the county commissioners and put it on the ballot. And I bring this amendment because I think really it's a compromise between those folks that don't want this bill at all and the folks that do. This makes it somewhat easier in order to get the hospital district, but it also gives consideration to the folks who do, in fact, have the primary assessed evaluation, but you only need 10% of them. So I think it's pretty straightforward, and I request your support. Thank you.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a reminder of what we talked about yesterday. We are looking at changing this for a particular reason. We know that within these smaller districts, there is a problem. The problem is getting enough people to sign a petition. You want to change the percentage on it. The current law states that it's 25% of the owning 25% of the assessed land values. That's in some counties, in some areas, is almost impossible to reach. If you drop it to 10%, that means you have to have a greater amount of people within that county sign that particular petition. As you can tell, I'm against this amendment, by the way, as we start. So, just a reminder, we have 14 out of 27 hospital districts right now that have special hospital districts and are functioning very well. The other ones are looking to stay afloat. In other words, they're faced with circumstances that force them to cut. The new Affordable Health Care Act coming forth will also cause them to cut. A lot of them are what they call critical access hospitals. In other words, they have to allow people into their emergency rooms, and they have to treat them, whether they're paid or not. That's another thing they're faced with. All we're saying is give these people an opportunity. The bill simply states that prior with the amendment now is that the county commissioners will put out a notice of the intent to do so, that the intent to add a meeting to announce that they want to put this on the ballot. During that meeting, everybody has an opportunity to come forth and express their concerns, whether it be a small landowner or a large landowner. They have that opportunity to come before the county commissioner and express their concerns. The county commissioners then make the decision whether they want to put it on the ballot. Once it goes on the ballot, the people have the right to vote on it. And that's what this bill is about, the right of people to vote on their health care within their districts. So therefore, I ask you to defeat this amendment and support the bill. Give those small communities the opportunity to go forth with their own rural care. Let them help themselves. That's what it's about. Thank you.
Chairman Keeters.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. The only thing worse than saying something stupid is standing up the next day and remind everyone that what you said yesterday was wrong. And that's what I did yesterday on this amendment. I am on and for the amendment, and I would urge you all to support it. Currently, the way the law is written is it does require this 25%. This of the assessed value, those people that are paying taxes in the district to agree to the special district. What the bill does is it removes that burden entirely, and what this amendment does is compromise, and it compromises in such a way that it requires even less than half of the assessed value people, the people that are under that burden, less than half than the way the law is written now. So I do think it is a good compromise. I probably will be voting no on the bill at the end of the day, but if we're going to pass the bill, I think this amendment is an eloquent compromise, and I apologize for misleading the body yesterday.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. As one of the previous speakers says, this is about the right of people to vote. And what this bill does, and even the amendment does, is removes that right to express their opinion on a bill, on a tax. This really is about taxation without representation. A large portion of the people in these districts may not want the tax. And normally what we hear is it's difficult to find these people. It's difficult to track them down. We don't know who the owners are. I worked with a group establishing a hospital district. It took me about 15 or 20 minutes of phone calls looking through the tax records to contact the four largest assessed values in the county. No big deal. And within that period of time, I had commitments from three of them that they would consider it and were willing to discuss it. That's all it took. It wasn't any big project. It wasn't any big event. And it gave them an opportunity to express what they wanted. And the fourth one out of those told me, they said, well, if we're against it, we're willing to make a very substantial contribution to the local hospital. In the meantime, the group decided to withdraw it. They didn't want the hospital district. And since then, the hospital's put in two new surgical suites, a new ICU unit, a sleep lab, and a bunch of other improvements without the district. And really, the problem was mismanagement of money. Almost 2 years ago, I had work done at the hospital. I have yet to see a bill. I gave up asking for one and figured I guess it was free service. So if they can't even bill you for what they've done, I think they have bigger problems than a hospital district or a mill levy will solve. They need to become financially solvent on their own and collect their bills from those people who can pay and are willing to pay. So on and against the amendment and against the bill.
Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against the amendment for the bill. The situation referred to by the previous speaker, it should be noted that the improvements to the hospital were done by a specific purpose tax. That's how we were able to afford that. But it's also important, I think, to note that this bill has gone through a lot of scrutiny in the last couple of weeks with very little resistance until it arrived over here. And I think it's also important to note that there's at least one hospital district or one hospital that's been trying to form a district for quite some time. They've even gone to the extremes of visiting the corporate headquarters to no avail. This bill is a bill of last resort for those folks. And just so you can put some numbers on it, we were asked by some ranchers what it does to their tax bill. So here's how it works out. On a ranch with a $2 million fair market value, with a 3-mill levy, it would raise your taxes about $570 a year. I don't think that's out of reach for most people, considering the magnitude of the problem if we allow these hospitals to continue to flounder and perhaps close. Thinking again about the hospital in the county where I live, keeping in mind there's no other hospital within 100 miles. If that hospital closes, I certainly wouldn't want to be one of you traveling across that artery that I referred to the other day in the middle of the winter with no helicopter service and a long, long ride in the back of an ambulance to get to a hospital. So on and against the amendment for the bill.
Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. For the amendment, I know what the problem is here, and many of us from districts that have small hospitals understand the struggle. The question, though, is are we willing to shift that decision kind of away from the people who will pay for this, that's proposed in this bill, allow someone else to make that decision, and certainly being a county commissioner in the past, I understand the responsibilities that commissioners have to their people, and I also understand that when this decision that comes before county commissioners, whether to submit the question for establishing district, most county board of county commissioners would say yes. You know, let the people decide. But then the problem that I continue to have with the way this bill's laid out is that knowing what the situation is with these small hospital districts, the people will likely be persuaded to vote for it because they don't share equally with what it's going to cost to do that. The folks with the highest assessed values will pay the biggest part of that bill. Throughout the state, it's 80% of the bill that they pay. So I think voters will be persuaded that if they don't have to face that decision that someone else will make the decision that they don't have to help pay for. I think it just goes down in a way that we might not want to head down. I just think it's the way it is now with the concessions in this amendment provides, as has already been said, an eloquent compromise to this system, and it really it helps validate that important rule with kind of connecting the cost and benefit and allow people who pay the most cost to help decide what the benefit is. So on and for the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. On and against the amendment and for the bill. We all want good health care. We all want good emergency care. When we're driving east and west on the interstate, if we have a mishap because some of those great big crazy people in those great big trucks are doing crazy things and force us off the road, we expect that there's somebody who's going to be there, who's going to package us up, haul us to a place, and we're going to be treated in a timely fashion. We all know that there's the Platinum 10. The first 10 minutes having emergency responders increases your survival rate. If you make it to a facility within the golden hour and are treated within the golden hour, that your survival rate is increased by almost 100%. And so ensuring that those types of facilities are available in the state of Wyoming to people who utilize the state of Wyoming, but people who work in industry in those communities is very, very important. Now, in my community, we're fortunate enough to have a hospital district, and it's paid for by multinational corporations primarily, although some of them are based in St. Louis. But the people who pay most of the taxes in my community are huge multinational corporations who have a worldwide influence, but expect the best health care for their people in the state of Wyoming. Now it's interesting that the good chairman of agriculture would point out that people would tax people or vote to tax people who don't pay for it. That's the Wyoming tax scheme. Most of our taxes are paid for by people out of state in the form of using our energy resources as severance taxes. So the question is, what kind of health care do you want? And more importantly, why can't we let the question get to the voters of that community and let them decide for themselves if they want to tax themselves for health care? And the way I look at this bill is we're removing the barriers from getting the question to the voters. The amendment puts up a bigger barrier. So I urge you to vote against the amendment and for the bill.
Mr. Vice Chairman Blickery.
Well, Madam Chairman, I was just curious to the previous speaker if he would feel the same way if it was a little tiny car that pushed the great big truck off the road.
Anyone else for their first time? For their first time. For your second time before the sponsor. Representative McKim.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think some good points have been brought to you. I just hope you understand what the intent of the bill is. I know it looks very enticing to say that if you drop that percentage of assessed valuation down to 10%, that will solve all the problems. It won't. That requires a greater number of people within a district to sign the petition. The petition then has to be presented to the county commissioners, which is given to the county clerk, which has to certify all those signatures, which takes about 6 months or more. I'm just saying, look at another way to do this. This is done with rural firefighters districts. This is not something new. All we're saying is let the voters have a chance, and that can be done with this bill. Therefore, I ask you to support the bill and defeat the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, and thank for all you all for the good debate. A couple of points I'd like to bring out. Number one, no one has suggested that this bill won't fix the problem in certain parts of the state. They just want the bill that they want because that's an easier way to get there. But there's no indication that this bill is not going to accommodate them in order to increase the size of their hospital districts in order to get a higher and more income in for their hospitals. That just hasn't been said today. Number two, the reason that these restrictions exist is because, quite honestly, no small town in Wyoming is going to oppose gerrymandering some long-arm tentacled hospital district, so someone else is going to have to pay for the hospital service. And all this does is say, look, we know that we want hospitals to be there. We want to be fair. But we just don't want to throw a tax on anybody and everybody within 75 miles that happens to have a really high assessed evaluation if it's not reasonable. So this creates a buffer, and it reduces the buffer of what's been existed for years and years and years to make it easier to form hospital districts and to get more money. And so given that, I would move that you support the amendment. Thank you.
We're on third reading of Amendment Number 2 to Senate Bill 19. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment two to Senate File 19 has failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Certainly a noisy crowd this morning. The amendment failed. All right, we're on third reading, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 19, and Representative Burkhart, and then you'll remove it at an appropriate time. Thank you.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem, I would remove the amendment at this time.
The amendment having been withdrawn, we are now ready for a roll call vote. Chief Clerk will call the roll. And I should say it's having been read three separate times.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay excused. Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff. Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace excused. Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 41 aye, 17 no, 2 excused.
Senate file 19 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate file 19 has passed the House. Majority Whip Stubson, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Members of the 62nd, early this morning, a group of fifth graders from Fort Casper Elementary boarded a bus to come down and watch us do our work, and I'd like you to welcome them there in the south balcony.
Welcome to the People's House. All right, we're on the final bill on third reading, Senate File 132.
Senate File 132, submitted by Senator Driscoll, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Do we just have, is that it, the, just the delete clause? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 132 and ask for your favorable consideration. Most of you have heard this story. Shortly after I was appointed, way back when I was a freshman, one of my constituents came to my office and said, "You have to do something about them wolves." And I said, "Why?" He says, "They're eating all the elk." He says, "You got to do something about it. Or it's not them wolves, it's them grizzly bear. They're eating all the wolf, or they're eating all the elk." And I said, "Well," and I handed him a letter, and I said, "The Game and Fish is having a meeting on grizzly bears, and I can't go. Would you go in my stead?" It's the last time I've offered anyone the opportunity to do that. So he went and took one of his buddies with him to a meeting over in Dubois and listened to lots of folks talk about how kind and furry and fluffy grizzly bears are. And he maintained his calm, but his friend finally had had enough. And he stood up in the meeting and he said, and this isn't an exact quote because in the interest of decorum, I can't do the exact quote. He said, "The only reason that I'm here is because I taste so darn bad." And then told the story about how for a generation now, we've been teaching grizzly bears that the sound of gunfire means a gut pile meal standing somewhere in the field. And so the sound of gunfire attracts grizzly bears when you're hunting big game. And so that's why I'm opposed to the amendment that went on in first reading. And there's another reason, too. We have a statute, 236208, that says that if you violate any of the provisions of our statute, they can take away any firearm, weapon, ammunition, trap, snare, vessel, motorized vehicle, aircraft, explosive, poisonous substance, electronic device, optical equipment used in or aid of in violation of any of our hunting statutes. And so not only do you get a criminal violation, they can take your stuff away, forfeit the stuff, and take it in the name of the state of Wyoming. And so if we're going to make a line, let's make a clear line, a line that makes sense. And so we either say suppressors are allowed or they're not allowed. And let's not make rules that say suppressors are allowed on Thursday if you're standing on 1 foot when the wind's blowing. Because if we do a disservice to our constituents if we make things unnecessarily complicated. Now, you've all heard the arguments on this bill one way or another, and you've heard the arguments on the amendment one way or another. This is just one additional thought to consider as we move forward on this bill. I'd urge you to adopt this amendment and then eventually to vote for the bill.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. As I read the explanation of the logic of this amendment, I worry and wonder if the speakers considered this, but I worry if the bears might get used to the sound of suppressors, because there is still 132 decibels there, and they tell me that grizzly bears have very good hearing. But, you know, the other serious consideration I hope we'll consider here is that this, the notion that's expressed in this amendment has been rejected on two consecutive readings. And I don't see how this testimony that we've heard today on it really changes anything. So I hope that that you will vote no on the good speaker's Third Amendment reading.
Anyone else for their first time? For their first time? For your second time? Mr. Speaker, the question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 132, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Division being called. All those in favor, please say stand. The amendment has passed. Senate File 132 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Flake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell. Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
no.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay, excused, Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic, Kasparic?
No.
Kirkbride?
Aye.
Croker?
Aye.
Crone?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Lockhart?
Aye.
Laux?
Aye.
Madden?
No.
McKim?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Patton?
Aye.
Paxton?
No.
Petroff?
Aye.
Pieperinen?
Aye.
Reeder?
Aye.
Simlick?
Aye.
Summers?
Aye.
Stubson?
Aye.
Teeters?
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace, excused. Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker, aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Blevins, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 14 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 132, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 132 has passed the House. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to invoke House Rule 12-7 and explain my vote.
Certainly.
Mr. Speaker, I actually oppose this. But come to find out that there's people in a company in my district that actually does this. So that is the only reason that I did change my vote. I really don't like the way we did business on this, and that would still keep me as a no vote as far as I'm concerned. But in the interest of my constituents, that's why I voted yes.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
I just want to bring your attention to my Paige Samantha Pratt, who's been here with me. This will be the fifth year. I believe she's come down and helped me from Laramie. So please welcome her back.
Welcome to the House. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While you're on your feet, if you turn your attention to the south balcony, there's another class from Fort Casper Academy that's come to see us work. Please welcome them.
Welcome to the House. We're at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 271 on House Bill 11. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 271, concurrence message number 271 to House Bill 11 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this amendment does is the good chairman down the hall of corporations just deleted a couple of words on page 18, which state is responsible for and this is in the statements of the insurer's board of directors and their responsibilities. And this does not affect the accreditation of the agent, and I would ask you to concur. Thank you.
We're voting on the motion or any discussion. We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 11. A majority of the members elected is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Farlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Cheaters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace excused. Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 6 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 11. The next message for our consideration is message 273 on House Bill 250. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move message 273 on House Bill 250 and ask for your no vote on concurrence. This is the half and half percent retirement bill, and it was part of our JEC discussions and would take you back to really the governor's recommendations on compensation for state employees. We had reached a policy point in JEC where we rolled in retirement contributions. We reduced the governor's down to a 1%, really in what we call a one-time incentive payment. And part of that compensation piece was an increase to three retirement plans. And I'll say it again, none of our retirement plans are in desperate need like other states you read about, but there are three that over the long term have a trend that we would like to start going upward. And it's more of a level or a slight downward trend. And so we wanted to take this small step to do this and have it as part of the compensation package. The Senate, so it came out of our house as a half and a half bill, half a percent employee share paid by the employer, half employer share paid by the employer. The Senate changed that half employee share to being paid a quarter and a quarter this year and then the full half percent
by the employee. And that might be where we end up, but I think we need to get together and talk about this, where we started and where we ended up with the current Senate position. So I'd stand for any questions, Mr. Speaker. Call for your no vote.
Any discussion? Discussion. We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 250. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow. Barlow. Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Blickrey. Blickrey. Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy. Coleman,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Davison, Davison,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay excused, Gingrey,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
no.
Kirkbride, Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
no.
Summers,
no.
Stubson, Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Wallace excused, Walters,
aye.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Barlow, aye to no. Blickrey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Pieperinen, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 8 aye, 50 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 250. Conference Committee on House Bill 250 will be Harshman Chairman, Esquivel, and Moniz. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, general file for today is as is shown on the yellow sheet. Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The House is resolved into Committee of the Whole. Representative Winters.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 87. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File Number 87 is presented by Senator Scott, an act relating to motor vehicle insurance, providing for issuance of electronic motor vehicle insurance identification cards as proof of insurance, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 87 engrossed, proof of motor insurance, or vehicle insurance, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yagi, Laux, McKim, Reeder, Dave Swanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Swanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Swanitzer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 87 do pass. And this bill, members of the body, allows you to carry electronic identification as compared to the hard card that you pull out of your billfold. So it says that the insurer and the insured will agree on its contents. So you have to be accepting of that as a form. And then if you ever need to produce it, if you get pulled over by a law enforcement officer, instead of the little hard copy form, you can pull out an app that's on your telephone and show that to them. And that would be significant enough identification. And that's basically what the bill does, and I would stand for any questions.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation. Pardon me, someone just walked forward.
Whoa.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question how it would work if this was contained on an app on your phone and someone borrows your vehicle and gets in an accident. The proof of insurance for that vehicle is no longer carried with that vehicle. Wondering how that would work.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very good question. It would be the same as if you do not have your other identity card in the vehicle. If for whatever reason you left that identity card at home and you let your neighbor drive your vehicle and you do not have it, it would be the same thing. Basically, the law says you have 7 days to come up with that ID in either case. So you do have a time period if for whatever reason. We had a great discussion in committee about the folks that all have their electronics and their battery runs out. So if that's the form you're carrying it in, you still do have 7 days to get up with the proof. So that is covered.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question about mischief. Is there a possibility of fraud or default? Is there a way to falsify through this electronic means?
Chairman Zwanitzer, or actually Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have this capability on my smartphone device now, and you have to go through a password-protected login to your account to show it. Similar things that the coffee company down the street have this capability. And so I don't think there's a lot of room for fraud or mischief just because you do have to sign into an account. It's password protected to install the app on your phone and get it up for the officer should he pull you over. So I don't foresee any fraud or mischief in this.
Chairman Harvey.
Would a person have the opportunity to sign up for insurance? And let's say they have the insurance policy in force the first month, and then they do not pay the premium the second month. I mean, my insurance policy is a six-month policy or a one-year policy. And so if they pay the premium on the first month, then is there a way to remove, for the insurance company, to remove the proof of insurance from my smartphone that says, wait a minute, they're not really covered?
Yes, there is.
Representative.
Yeah, if you don't pay your bill, the insurance company can pull the app off your phone. So that possibility is covered.
Representative Crooker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just along those lines, I would submit that it is 1,000 times easier to fake a copied piece of paper than it is an electronic proof of insurance. So if we're worried about fraud, this isn't going to change anything one way or the other.
Very good. Any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? All right. Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 87 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no. Senate file number 87 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file number 126. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 126, as introduced by Senator Schiffer, an act relating to motor vehicles, providing for designation of highways to carry overweight and oversized vehicles as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate file 126, engrossed overweight and oversized vehicles, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yeagie, Laux, McKim, Reeder, and Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 126 do pass. And members of the body, you might remember last year when Wyoming and some of the surrounding states was in a drought situation, and we had to get in emergency loads of hay to take care of the livestock in the state, and the executive officer allowed for that to happen, and this bill is just authorizing it to happen should we have that same situation. What this bill does, it does still require for those truckers to get a permit. So they do have to go to the port of entry. They do have to get a permit, but it will allow them for the port to send them on the route that they need to go on to get to their destination. So if they have an oversized or overhyped load, then the port, when they get their permit, can say, well, you cannot, you know, you've got a 15-foot load on your truck, and you're going to hit a bridge that's only 14.7. So you need to take this road to get to your destination. So it's just something, as we're expecting possibly another drought this year, it is something that allows executive order to come down. It has to be through that method, and allows the things to pass through our state if they're trying to go to another state. As you know, we were getting hay and stuff from far south states where they had some moisture this year and going out up to states north of us. So I would ask for your favorable consideration and stand for any questions.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Any discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 126 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no. Senate file number 126 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file number 11. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file number 11 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to magistrates of the Circuit Court, eliminating mandatory full-time magistrates, requiring Supreme Court to determine necessity of full-time magistrate, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate file 11, engrossed Circuit Court magistrates, respectfully reports saying back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, Watt. One no vote, Representative Baker, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingery?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 11 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And maybe we can dispense with the amendment real quick. We had it singular, and it needed to be plural, and that's all the amendment does. And unless there's any questions, we could vote on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Any questions? We are on the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no. The amendment is adopted. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. During the interim, the Judiciary Committee dealt with this bill. This was a committee-sponsored bill, and the different agencies were asked to find places that they could save money. This was one of the areas they came back to talk to us about, was magistrates. So just to explain what a magistrate is, Just to remind you, we have our circuit courts are our lowest level court. You're dealing with just misdemeanors, and you're dealing with civil cases up to $50,000. Then above that, you have your district courts. And then above that, of course, the Supreme Court. So we have a three-tiered system. In this bill, all we're talking about is at the circuit court level. We're dealing with that level. And at the district court level, the higher up one, there actually is something similar to a magistrate. We just have a different name for it. We call them district court commissioners. A district court commissioner is the same thing almost as a magistrate. We just have different names for them. But what we're talking about is at the circuit court level magistrates. And here's what the issue is. We have 9 judicial districts around the state. So right here in this county, this actually is one judicial district. This is District 1. And it only includes one county. Same thing if you're up in Natrona County. Natrona County is District number 7. They're just one county. Those two counties, those are the only two where their district is the same boundary as their county. All the other counties, the district includes more than one county. For example, I live in District 9. 9 is Teton, Sublette, and Fremont. Those are our three counties in our district. So we have district court judges there, and we have circuit court judges. About 10 years ago, we switched over from a JP/county court system. We had a system where some counties had county court judges and some had JPs, justice of the peace. We decided that was not the way to go. About 10 years ago, they switched over to circuit courts. Circuit court sounds just like in the name. It's a circuit. You're moving around your circuit. So let's say you get appointed to be the judge in a particular district, and let's use District 8 because that's an easy one to explain. So let's say I get appointed to be the judge for District 8, the circuit court judge. I'm going to preside in Douglas, so I'm in Converse County, but I'm still responsible for Niobrara County and Platte County and Goshen County. There's actually another circuit court judge in Torrington for Goshen. But for Niobrara and Platte, there's no one actually sitting there. There's not actually a judge stationed there. Well, that makes sense because of caseload. There isn't a high enough caseload in Niobrara County to justify having a full-time judge sitting there all the time. So what they do is you have a magistrate there. And the magistrate is full-time, but he doesn't do all the things a judge does. And actually, to become a magistrate, all that happens is the circuit court judge appoints you. You don't actually go through the process. Okay, those are what magistrates are. They pretty much can do almost everything a judge can do within reason. There's a list of things that they can do. What the Supreme Court came back with and what we discussed, and we had a different bill last year, and then the county, the association that deals with counties, they went and worked with the court, and they came up with something that everybody could agree to. And what it is this bill affects nobody that is currently in their position. So if somebody is a full-time magistrate today, this bill doesn't affect them. This bill only happens when somebody retires from their position. And then what we would do is talk with that county about the possibility of having a part-time magistrate come in. Same thing. They're going to be the same. It's just how they get paid. A full-time magistrate is getting paid a salary plus benefits. A part-time magistrate is a lawyer in that community that's getting paid more on an hourly rate. For some of the counties, the court's going to have to go ahead and just keep a full-time magistrate. You're not going to find an attorney in that community willing to do it. So you're just going to have to hire someone to be the full-time magistrate. But there are some counties where you actually may be able to find not just one part-time magistrate, but maybe you find 3 or 4 that are willing to do it, and they would fill in. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to save money, and this was an idea that they came up with, was to move from paying full-time magistrates and go to part-time magistrates. But it's only if, after consultation with that county, that the court decides that's a good idea. That's essentially the explanation.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the Chairman of Judiciary, was there any discussion through this process? I know this has been a 2-year project about the quality of the magistrates switching from a full-time magistrate, which has typically been an experienced attorney that's been down the road, to a part-time where the pay is not quite so attractive,
and it's usually a younger or less experienced attorney. Yeah, if you just comment on that for me.
Chairman Gingrey.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I think for some of these counties, the court will decide not to switch. It just gives them the option. I think when you look at counties like Platte County, I think they'll just leave a full-time magistrate there. But for other counties, in particular where the circuit court judge travels a lot, where the circuit court judge is moving a lot between the counties, and he's covering it already himself, he doesn't really need a full-time magistrate there because he's there. If the real judge shows up and he's there, you don't really need the magistrate. So there was some discussion that in particularly, there's one judge that's really good about traveling. He showed me his mileage charts of how much he travels. And that's the concept. When we created the idea that he'd be a circuit court judge, he would move around. And so for some, maybe they'll say it. For others, I think for now, they're pretty much going to stick with it. But it just gave them the option in the future that they potentially could move to part-time in certain counties.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill gives me a little cause for concern. We gave up our JP system and moved to a circuit court system. And now through budget cuts, we're losing or have the potential of losing three circuit courts in Wyoming. Two of them are in my area. And I feel like most of my constituents feel, and that is that promises were made and not kept, that if we would move away from one system to another, that certainly our needs would be met and that we would have a traveling judge that would come around. And now we have magistrates, and there are some in my area, and we're talking about further reducing services. So this bill gives me cause for concern because it just opens the pathway for more reduction in services in the rural areas. And, you know, when you talk about people who travel to go to a trial, it's not just the person who has been accused, but it's the victims and it's the family members. And you're talking about distances in my county that without a circuit court judge just went to about 100 miles for them to go to watch justice happen for their family member or for themselves. And so I worry about this because I think that it's just one more way in the name of saving money that justice becomes available to those who live in the large metropolitan areas or the richer counties or whatever it is. Is this just one more way to reduce services to people who have to travel large distances to receive justice in the first place?
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of this bill, but I do have a question. Do we get any CLE credits for what we've just experienced?
Chairman Gingrey.
Certainly can arrange those. The good chairman of Labor brought some good points. I just wanted to make sure it was clear. The closure of satellite courts is completely unrelated to this bill. Two different things. And actually, potentially by doing this bill and saving money here, we might be able to save some satellite courts. Here's what a satellite court is. Totally different concept. Because satellite courts a lot of times aren't even served by the magistrates. For example, if you're in Fremont County, the circuit court judge in Riverton travels to Dubois to a satellite court, but there's no magistrate there. It's the actual circuit court judge. He travels there, I think, twice a month. There was discussion of closing that Dubois court, and I think there was two others up in the basin area they were talking about closing. But the satellite courts were unrelated to the discussion on the magistrate issue.
Very good. Any further discussion on the bill? To go back, I will correct for the record that we voted on standing committee Amendment Number 1, not Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Is there any further discussion on the bill? All right. Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 11 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. The Committee of the Whole, Senate File Number 11 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next for our consideration, we have Senate File Number 53. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 53, as presented by Senator Vivaut, an act relating to partitions of real property, requiring specified partition orders to comply with subdivision laws and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 53, partition actions subject to subdivision laws, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Conley, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watts, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingrey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 53 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And all the Standing Committee Amendment was, they had five or more, and we didn't think it was more semantics. We decided that what they meant was more than five, so they meant six. I guess we could have put six, too. Anyway, so we're trying to make it more clear that more than five was better than saying five or more, because they didn't mean to include five. They meant six or more, actually. So it was more of a semantics thing, and if someone on second reading thinks there's a better grammatical way of saying that. But unless there's any questions, I'd call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
All right. Wait, we have one person who is slowly making their way to the back there. All right. Whoa. Whoa. Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, a question to Mr. Chairman. I don't see that that's just a small change from five or more to more than five. So I would like a little more explanation about that, please.
And why don't we do this, since now there's a question. Why don't I turn it over to the good majority whip to explain the bill, and then I'll come back and explain the difference between five and six.
Mr. Majority Whip Stepson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is really brought to sort of plug a hole that we have currently in our subdivision system, and it seems like we each session we have a subdivision law. But what has been happening, folks have sort of figured out how to game the system, and we've seen in a number of counties that if you come in and you have a joint ownership of a parcel, you can go into, for example, you may have a 1,000-acre parcel, and you can bring in folks that are joint tenants, that they jointly own the entire parcel. And so you go in, it's not uncommon for people who have that joint ownership to go into a court to get that parcel, to get the property split out. But what has been happening is, in order to circumvent county supervision of subdivision policy, you've had a couple of circumstances where people come in, there may be a large parcel, you bring in, 25 people as joint owners, and then you go in and partition it, and you end up with essentially a subdivision, a court-ordered subdivision, without any of the procedures that we've laid out in law. For example, provision of sewer, provision of water, provision of roads, all those things that typically you would be required to do in order to do a subdivision. And in fact, one of the counties in the middle of the state, this happened, and it ended up with about 25 different lots, many of them under 10 acres. So you had these little 4 or 5 acre parcels, and they just totally skipped around the subdivision process. So all this bill says and provides is that if if you file a petition in the court to get a parcel broken up, to get it partitioned, and it's more, as it would be amended, it's more than five separate lots, then you have to also comply with the subdivision provisions that all the rest of us would have to comply with. And it just it's to plug this hole, and I'm sure there'll be more holes in the future, but it's to ensure that this sort of gamesmanship around the subdivision laws doesn't take place. So, and just one other comment on the more than five. I think under Title I currently, we're talking, the subdivision laws apply to more than five lots, and that's why it was changed by the Standing Committee Amendment. So with that, I'd take any questions that folks may have.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to help clarify the Standing Committee Amendment, 18.5306 simple subdivisions apply up to five plots of land. And the way the bill read, it says a total of five or more. So it was kind of covering the same territory again. So we amended it in committee to make it's clearly for six or more. And what we're trying to prevent future rulings where the judge does something that doesn't really conform with the subdivision laws. That one case that was presented in committee frankly showed land parcels that were divided down to as small as 3 acres with a total of, let's see, 67 different parcels divided out of this partition that was ruled by the court that you know, there's no access to these 3 and 4 acre parcels. It was just a real mess. So that's the purpose of the bill and the amendment. And I'll call for the question on the amendment if there's no more questions on the amendment.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if it's on the amendment or on the bill, but I'll just ask and we can get it clarified. This is stopping when we have a subdivision. So you sell a 5 acre piece in that subdivision. That person then can come and sell that division or that 5 acre piece, make, you know, 4 or 5 1-acre pieces. Is this what this bill is getting? And I think it is. I think that we're headed in the right direction.
Majority Floor Leader Brown.
Mr. Chairman, you have to go back to the partition statutes, which are in 132.101 at second, the statutes. And the first, the lead into that says, tenants in common and co-partners of an estate and land can be compelled to partition. Okay? And so tenants in common, I think we all understand, those are a number of owners who are, they're not joint owners, they own undivided interests, and their interests are inheritable. Rather than upon their death, that undivided interest is inheritable instead of going to the surviving tenants in the property. That one's pretty easy. But it says tenants in common and co-partners. Well, what are co-partners? Co-partners are people who succeed to an interest in property through an inheritance. And so if you've got mom and dad and mom dies, then dad dies, and the kids inherit the property, and there's 10 kids. They're going to be in there 10 times as undivided interest as co-partners. That's what co-partners are. So you can create a tenancy in common in these properties simply by selling undivided interest in the property to other people. And so A takes the property and sells B an undivided 1/8 as tenants in common and sell C an undivided 1/8 as tenants in common. And you can manufacture a tenancy in common by doing that. So at that point, you have a total tenancy in common. Then they use this partition statute, which is really meant to unravel these situations where people get into these primarily because of inheritance, but they can make a misuse of this and say, okay, now we're going to file a partition action. We're going to go through the process that's in Title I, Article 32, or Chapter 32, Article 1 of the statutes, and we're going to compel a division of this property. So you come out of the end of the partition with, if you had 10 people that you got into the thing as tenants in common, then the court divides that property up. And the partition statute says that the court will appoint viewers and appraisers, and if they can divide it up in some equitable manner, then they do it. Sometimes we get in these things and they say, well, it can't be divided in an equitable manner. A lot of times it's because the water isn't capable of being divided if there's water rights on the property. And at that point, then the option out for the court is to sell the property and divide the money because it's divisible. So it's a subterfuge under the partition statutes, which were put in place to help people unravel these common ownerships and property. It's a subterfuge to use that unravel of a common ownership to create a subdivision that, if it were done straight up under the subdivision laws, wouldn't be permitted without going to the county commissioners. So I hope that's helpful. I think this is a good bill. I think it's something that needs to be done. I'd be on and for the bill.
We are on a committee amendment number one, Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to add to that just for a second, here's what happened. In the 1800s, we have partition laws. So they go on the statutes in the 1800s. Then in the 1950s, we created subdivision laws. But we never thought the two would ever have to go together. And that's where they've clashed together. And that's what this bill's trying to do, is fix it. Here's what happened. There's a real-world example. Up in Fremont County, there was a ranch. A lot of people had ownership. They couldn't agree on how to split it up. Judge does a partition action. Judge says, here's how we're going to split this thing up. And he splits it up into a lot of little parcels. But what the judge doesn't do is say, well, here's how the road easement's going to go, and here's how all the common property is going to work, and here's how all this stuff's going to work. So then all these people own all these parcels now, but they go to a real estate agent, and it's actually, those are the people that sort of brought the bill originally, they don't know how to sell it because there's no roads in, and they don't, you got to remember, these are the same people that were arguing how to partition it, so they're certainly not going to agree as to where the road should go to access all the different parcels. So all this bill's doing is saying, okay, if you go to a judge and you ask to partition it, which you can do under these old 1800 statutes, you still got to comply with your subdivision laws that you must have in that county. Now, if you don't, every county has, and that's where the five comes in. Every county has to have to comply with subdivision rules if you're dividing six or more. That's where the five gets confusing. In some counties, that's actually less, but that's the reason the good senator picked that number, because that's what his county uses. But that's the concept, is that they're trying to bring partitioning and subdivision laws together.
Majority Whip Stubson. All right. You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Standing Committee Amendment number one has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Do we have any further discussion on the bill? Chairman. All right. Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 53 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Senate file number 53 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chairman.
Majority Whip Stubson.
Can I get, if I could get one more privilege of the floor, I do want to, there's
please
one
proceed.
More. Great group of fifth graders from Fort Casper Academy, and they deserve an extra round of applause because they stayed awake through a discussion of subdivision and partition. So,
very good. Welcome. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File number 114. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 114 is presented by Senator Netting, an act relating to crimes and offenses creating the crime of assault of a health care provider, providing penalties, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman of Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 114, engrossed, assault of health care providers, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, and Crone. Those who voted no, Representatives Baker, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 114 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and we can deal with the amendment real quick. It was just changing the catch title. What happened was it was an assault bill to begin with when it came from the other body. The other body switched it to essentially what the whole bill is. It's a increased penalty bill by 2 years. It increases from 10 years to 12 years, the penalty for assaulting a healthcare provider. But they stuck it into aggravated, not assault, so we had to change the catch title from assault to aggravated assault because there was a distinction. And unless there's any questions, I'd ask for your aye vote on the Standing Committee Amendment.
We are on the amendment. Representative Kasparek. All right. False start. There is a question having been called on the Standing Committee Amendment number 1. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll turn over the explanation to the good representative from Campbell County.
Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll go through the bill real quick, but then talk a little bit more about what it means. And if you look at the changes on the bill, it's really in 6-2502, starting on line 12, where it says, except as provided in this subsection, C of this section, it identifies assault and battery. But if you turn the page, look at page number 2, it identifies what the charge is for assault and battery against a healthcare provider. And this is a healthcare provider who is engaged in providing healthcare services, is a felony punishable by imprisonment for not more than 12 years and a fine not more than $5,000 or both. And so now I'll talk a little bit about what the bill is and what the bill isn't. This bill is not about hate. Now, because in the words of a famous actress, you like us. You really, really like us. You know, nurses have been number one on the list of most admired professions for 11 out of 12 years. And they share that top of the list with doctors, with first responders, and other people who put their lives on the line to save the lives of you, your spouses, your parents, grandparents, and your children. And when they're doing that, even though they've been trained, you know, to defuse situations, to look out for their own protection, when they're focusing and bending over that bed or over that stretcher and looking at that life that is lying there and trying to do something to make it better or whole, sometimes their focus isn't always on that guy or that person who's next to the stretcher, who's just unhappy for some reason, and then clocks that healthcare worker in the jaw. Assault against healthcare workers is recognized as a problem in our society by a multitude of well-respected organizations. The Emergency Nurses Association, which represents 40,000 ER nurses, in 2010 did a survey and found that 1 out of 10 ERRNs said that they had been attacked in the previous week. The National Council of Compensation Insurance in 2012 said 61% of all workplace assaults are committed by health care patients. The Bureau of Labor Statistics in 2010 said 46% of all non-fatal assaults and violent acts requiring days away from work were committed against RNs. OSHA in 1998 said more assaults occur in healthcare and social services industries than any other. The University of Iowa in 2001 report to the nation said of particular concern is a high rate of violent incidents targeting healthcare workers. Hospital-based healthcare workers currently have the highest rate of non-fatal assaults over all other sectors of employment. Again, the Bureau of Labor Statistics said healthcare workers suffer four times more assaults than any job in the private sector. NIOSH, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, said hospital workers are at high risk for experiencing violence in the workplace. And the last study that I'll quote is from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who did a study of safety and workplace and safety in our society in 2001 and said employees experiencing the largest number of type 2 assaults, that's I think assaults without a deadly weapon, are in healthcare. Nurses know how to diffuse and take care. Healthcare workers know how to diffuse situations. But they're not always, sometimes when their hands and their minds are occupied on the safety and health of that person that they're caring for, they don't see the other things that are happening. People who assault healthcare workers, unfortunately, they're people like you and I. But they're having the worst day of their life. They're under stress. They're sometimes under the influence of drugs and alcohol. And they're not necessarily thinking, you know, of the best thing to do in this situation. This bill will give them that message that it won't be tolerated, it shouldn't be tolerated, and we need to do something about it. It's not isolated to one area of this state. It's all over our state. It's all over our country. So take a stand now and help support this bill. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to walk you through a little bit of the actual language in the bill, it's against health care providers, and those are defined in statute, and I'll read you the definition. The health care provider is defined as a person who is licensed, certified, or otherwise authorized or permitted by the laws of the state to administer health care in the ordinary care course of business practice or profession. So that's who a health care provider is defined as in the statute. And just to remind you, all we're dealing with here, the original bill, I think, as the sponsor brought it, was for assault, and we've had this discussion here on the floor before, the distinction. Assault is where it's a misdemeanor. Well, you don't actually touch the person. You say you're going to hit them, and you got your arm. Batteries when you actually touch. And if you don't leave an injury, that's usually a misdemeanor. What the Senate did was move it over to ag assault. So this would only come into play. It would be a very rare circumstance. It has to be a permanent damage you have to show serious, and that's the key word, serious bodily injury. We've gone through that before in another bill. You have to show that it's permanent damage. Or if the person is pregnant, and we actually had some testimony from a woman who was pregnant at the time that got hit, but it would have had to have caused a miscarriage for it to actually come into play. So what the bill does is, right now, ag assault is a 10-year felony. This changes it to if you do the same exact crime. So the elements of the crime are not changing. All that's changing is if it happens to be that the victim is a health care provider as defined, then it goes to 12 years. So all we're doing is moving from 10 years to 12 years for a health care provider.
Thank you. We will go next to Chairman Madden, then Ms. Kasparic, Representative Kasparic, then Majority Whip Stepson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question, I have a feeling that the chairman of the Judiciary, I'll probably have to answer this question, but I need to know how prevalent it is in our statutes where we augment the crimes depending upon the class of person. You know, and maybe that it is the way. If we assault a fireman, is that a higher penalty than if I'm assaulted as a legislator? Or is first responders if you assault them? Is it a worse, more augmented punishment and that kind of thing? And I don't know. These kind of bills, whenever we set apart some class of people and say, well, it's worse if you do it to this guy than if you do it to this guy. And I know that that the good chairman can probably help me out with that. But
Representative Kisperek, will go first to Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did discuss that in committee. There is a statute. Like, if you hit a law enforcement officer in the scope of their duties, that's actually a crime. That's a specific crime of itself. We talked about doing that with this, and that's sort of what the other body had talked about, too, and they rejected that idea. So what this does is it increases the penalty for hitting a particular type of victim, but it doesn't create a particular crime because of the victim, like with law enforcement. So law enforcement, we do actually do it that way. But that's not what this statute's doing. It's increasing the penalty by 2 years for hitting a particular type of victim.
Representative Kisperek.
Unless there's other questions, I'll stand.
Majority Whip Stubson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the bill, and really my concerns sprout largely from what the good chairman of revenue talked about, that this is the beginning of a very interesting path where we start doling out punishment based upon the professional status of the victim. And you know, and I love our healthcare providers, and I run to them often. But what is to say that teachers that are taking care of our children aren't entitled to greater penalties if somebody beats them up or assaults them, or child care workers or bus drivers or anybody else that's out there serving us? I mean, there's a host of people out there that we want to protect. And certainly if the punishment isn't enough, let's have that discussion. But, you know, I become very concerned that, so 2 years, you know, if I'm going to assault a healthcare worker, I'm not going to do it because I'm facing 12 years, but I would do it if I was facing 10 years. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So I'm not sure that this bill gets us anywhere other than to say that we really love healthcare workers. And so if we do have concerns that the penalty is not enough, let's have that discussion. But I have deep concerns about going down a path where we're going to charge out different punishments just based upon what job we each decide to do. So. Representative Harshman. Pardon me. All right. We'll then go to Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Regarding the special or protected class of workers, I would ask, what other profession requires that these professionals get so into a body? I'm thinking of the RN who is catheterizing someone who is impaired, intoxicated, or just plain angry. And what's she going to do? Or he, as the case may be. So yes, I would say they are a special class of workers and deserve special consideration in this regard. Also, this law would permit any emergency room, any room in a hospital to display a sign, assault of a healthcare worker is a felony. And a nurse could easily say to a raised fist, if you connect with that, that's going to cost you $5,000. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Harshman, would you like to respond? All right, thank you. Any further discussion on the bill? Oh, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on and against the bill. In regards to the what the good majority whip said about somewhat of a slippery slope as far as specific occupation, but I guess my concerns are is if I'm wheeled into the ER and I'm seriously injured for whatever reason, and I'm not necessarily intoxicated or under the influence of any drugs, but
I'm in a lot of pain, and I'm not really in my right frame of mind, and I'm bleeding all over and flailing around on the gurney, and I, you know, lash out and strike somebody, not necessarily intentionally, but, you know, if it were a big person, they could cause some serious harm. And so I guess I understand, you know, malicious intent and or not, but I think that, personally, I see a gray area there where there's some danger of a slippery slope in that direction. So I guess that's why I am on and against this bill. Thank you.
Representative Kisparek.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And there is absolutely prosecutorial discretion, you know, and when they're looking at the circumstances of what happens. And, you know, that's something that happens often. We certainly have people like the good representative who flail about a lot. And, you know, these are not the people we're talking about. These are people that are intentionally, you know, with intention, injuring healthcare workers while in, you know, while they're doing their duty, doing what they need to do for patients. So there's a definite difference in how some injuries occur, and I think that healthcare workers all know that there are people who are going to be not able to control some of their actions due to injury, disease, but that is not the same as someone who goes out, gets drunk, gets high, gets loaded, gets mad, and comes in and harms a healthcare worker.
Representative Eklund.
Kind of down the same lines, I would like to know where it is in law that it defines out the people that maybe are incompetent, they're in a nursing home, someone on some medication they're not used to, and anything goes, or injured. Where's that at in the law? And it must be defined. This is an existing law, so it must be defined somewhere. But I'm curious about that before I can vote on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, first of all, I'll start out and say that most of you know me, and I have a real liking for nurses, and so I sure wouldn't want to make any of them mad that I know very well. But this is a terrible bill, you guys. And I think back and to the can of worms that we're opening up here. I think back when a family member of mine was 90-some years old and her place in life. And there was some conversation earlier about the fact whether this was intentional or not. And I'll tell you that the same relative of mine was not very easy to take care of in her 94th year. And she intentionally was after a nurse a couple times. And with the little buggy, she was driving down the hall of the nursing home. So, and I surely can't see what we're going to do with somebody like that if they get, a felony charge against them and with the harsher sentencing. So anyway, I urge you all to vote against this bill. Thank you.
Representative Hunt, do you have any? Okay. Representative Kasparek. Pardon me. Representative Throne.
Well, thank you for
Connelly.
The compliment.
Pardon me.
Thank you for the compliment. I'll take that. But, you know, all Democrat females don't look alike.
Touche.
But just teasing, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I'm honored in favor of this bill. We had some really vigorous and I think really interesting discussion about it in the committee. And one of the comments before, and we're all thinking about who's that person who is going to be clocking the nurse. And what we found out is that honestly, we're talking about the real mean, intentional, aggravated perpetrator. And I really like this bill because it moved from being a misdemeanor in this originally to being a felony, and in part because I'd like for a judge to make a determination about the intent of that perpetrator. And I just want to read to you what you need to reach in order to get to aggravated assault and battery. So under 62502A, a person is guilty of aggravated assault and battery if he causes or attempts to cause serious bodily injury to another intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly under circumstances manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life. So we're not talking about somebody who is kind of simply kind of mad and throws up an arm, right, and hit someone. We're talking about reaching kind of that standard of mens rea, as well as with having extreme indifference to the value of human life. It's only when someone reaches that level that they would be guilty of this type of crime. And so, again, I'm on and in favor of it. If somebody is clocking a healthcare provider with these standards being met, I think a $5,000 fine is absolutely reasonable.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look at the statistics of the number of nurses that and the amount of time that they stay in the profession, and you would be shocked at how many nurses are working other jobs, licensed nurses who are working other jobs because of the stress of the job of nursing. And so if this can save some nurses in the profession, and you know, we increased our nursing studies all across the state. Every community college now educates more nurses than ever before, and it's because we strove to meet that nursing shortage. And yet, if we look at the licensure, the number of people who are licensed to be nurses, they are not practicing nurses. And it's because of the stress of the job, and it's for very instances like this that it only takes once of being seriously injured to where you no longer want to come to work and set yourself up for that. And I think we have to look at the total picture. Look at the nurses that are serving now. And I can tell you that even when we went to them to lunch with the nurses, there are far more women than there are men. Women tend to be smaller and less strong. And we're not doing anything to keep them in the profession or to protect them. So I would have to say that I am very strongly on and in favor of this bill. Let's keep our nurses working in the profession. Let's keep them healthy in the profession and help them to meet the desire of them helping other people. Thank you.
Representative Greer Esquire.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We might have had words if you'd called me Representative Blake. I wish to point out in the representative from over the hill did a great job of telling us in the statute what the elements are for aggravated assault. And if you commit aggravated assault, whether you're a nurse, an attorney, a teacher, a guy off the street, it's a 10-year, you can have aggravated assault and battery as a felony punishable by imprisonment for not more than 10 years. So what are we doing with this bill? We're adding an enhancement, 2-year enhancement, and then a pecuniary fine, monetary fine. I've always wanted to use that word publicly. Anyway, what are we doing here? What we're doing is we're just taking a class of people and we're recognizing that they're great people and what they do is very, very important by adding an enhancement to the criminal statute. You know, I heard it said that this bill allows us to post on the wall in the hospitals and elsewhere that it's a felony to beat up a healthcare provider. Yes, it is. We don't need this bill to do that. Let's just think, are we just going to keep carving out exceptions and putting these enhancements? Or this live with what we've got? This This bill is not necessary. Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Good pick, Mr. Chairman. I think the previous speaker may have said some of what I was going to say. I'm afraid there was another representative who was distracting me. But I was just going to say, I worked in the emergency room when I was in grad school, so I have a very great sympathy having been in the emergency room when the strange drunken people come in. And I know we've all been very lobbied on this because no one wants to say that we think nurses should be punched. But I guess my question just is a little further. It sounds to me almost like we're saying, I mean, we're not saying nurses and EMTs should be beat up when they're taking care of a patient. It sounds to me like what we need rather than this bill is a direction that prosecutors need to prosecute people who are beating them up. I mean, I'm more hearing what we're saying is that this is a serious criminal problem, but I don't understand why the current statute, and I'm not an attorney, but why is the current statute of aggravated assault and battery causing serious bodily injury intentionally, recklessly, and all that sort of thing, why isn't that being used now to put away all these people for the 10 years that they can be put away for? So I don't really understand how being able to put them away for 12 years is really better than putting them away for 10 years if maybe the problem is that we're not actually using the tool that we have now, and for some reason are people thinking that it's bad to assault a person with a knife and a fist in the parking lot, but it's okay inside the hospital? I mean, is that what the legal system is thinking? Maybe the bill isn't the answer. Maybe the answer is some stern direction to the prosecutors.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is, why can't we have this bill without the enhanced penalty? Why can't we just have it as the penalties that they are there? Thank you.
Representative Kisparik.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I've been a nurse in a long time, and I started my career in the emergency room. And, in fact, I was licensed before I could legally drink. And so I was very young, very immature in a lot of ways, naive. And I can remember being kicked and hit and backed up against a wall and followed home and all of those things. And the attitude at that time, a long time ago, was, well, what did you do wrong that you brought all that attention on yourself? Well, fast forward, you know, I'm now a nurse with a lot more experience and lots of adventures in it that have occurred in my life. But what I have seen as a nurse in these 40 years of nursing is an aggravation of this problem. We see more people that come in angry, more people under the influence, more people who are just having a bad day, who think it's okay to take it out on that person who is most available, and that's that healthcare worker who's trying to save your relative, your loved one. It's a problem that's growing. It's recognized by all of the agencies that I discussed. Healthcare workers are the number one assaulted worker in our country, and that's just sad. So I'm saying that we should all be here to take a stand, to say we want our healthcare workers safe. We want them to go home every night. We want them to come back to work so that they can take care of my loved one when they're sick and when they're injured. This bill is one step to help get us a little bit closer to that. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number Senate File number 114 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Senate File number 114 has failed Committee of the Whole
Pursuant to House Rule Number 6-6B, the bill having failed a voice vote, a standing division vote is required. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Senate file number 114 has passed Committee of the Whole. Before we break, Representative Filer.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege to introduce in our west balcony over here my older brother Ray, who's up here from Denver, works for Union Pacific Railroad, and he's here to watch us do our work today. Go ahead and stand up, Ray.
We have one more privilege of the floor, Speaker Pro Tem Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, again, just one more opportunity to remind you that on tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. will be the governor's prayer breakfast, and if any of you would like to attend, please see me, and we'll get that arranged. Thank you.
Majority Floor Leader Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee of the whole rise and sit again at 2 o'clock.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is passed. May we have committee announcements? Representative Zwan, sir. Chairman Zwan, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow night, 10 minutes after adjournment, H-17, to hear one bill, registration fees, trailers with living quarters. That is Senate File 110.
Speaker Pro Tem Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Republican caucus will meet in room B-63 upon adjournment.
Do we have any further committee? Okay. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Okay. Thank you. Your minority caucus will meet upon the noon recess at the Egg and I, and you are all invited.
Thank you. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment in room H-17 to hear Senate File 97, Engrossed Eligibility for Medicaid.
Any further announcements? Ladies and gentlemen, we are dismissed. We will sit again at 2 o'clock.
Okay.